it's Tori Townley. Welcome to the Kaleidoscope Eyes podcast, a show all about learning to see differently so we can love extravagantly. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Kaleidoscope Eyes / Serve Brew podcast. I'm Tori Townley. I'm stoked to get to hang out with you guys today. Today, our conversation is all about adventures and kindness, and I literally cannot think of two better people who are more kindness obsessed than our guests today. We have not one, but two guests. They're some of my closest friends. I met them both actually in Birmingham, serving at the Birmingham Dream Center under Church of the Highland, and I can't tell you how many adventures we've had together, just specific people, specific moments, doing outlandish, radical things for people, hosting proms and talent shows and just all kinds of stuff. And our journeys have just continued. Our friendship continues to evolve. They're my girls with kaleidoscope eyes. Like literally one of them gave me a pair of kaleidoscope eyes and we each have a pair and we put them on and we send each other pictures and like you see the world through Jesus's eyes. So I wanted to invite them today to just talk about kindness. They have some of the most beautiful perspectives and ideas and creativity that I've ever witnessed, and they make me better. So without chattering on for hours, I want to introduce you guys to Savannah Jabalisco. Hi.
Hey.
How are you today?
I'm doing good.
Good. Where are you at?
I'm in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
All right. Right next door to me. Awesome. And then we have Hannah Ferrucci, aka Rooch.
Or
Rucci.
Whoop, whoop. Hey.
Are you Italian?
Yeah.
Are you Cajun?
Oh, definitely. Actually, I'm working on a gumbo tomorrow. I made my chicken stock today, so yeah, I had to share that.
Never had your gumbo.
I need what? Oh my god. Yeah. All right.
Taste it next time.
I'll bring you some.
So Rucci is from Louisiana. I'm from Louisiana. Savannah's from Alabama. But me and Savannah live in Louisiana and Rucci lives in Alabama. I don't know. It's good together. It's good. Oh my gosh. All right. So I need to tell a story before we start. So the last time Rucci and Savannah and I hung out, Rucci texted us and said, I'm on my way to Baton Rouge. I need to do something nice. I need to do an outreach. I need to do something that expresses kindness. So Savannah and I are like, all right, what can we do? Because we know the area, but Rucci's the one with all the ideas. So we get together and y'all, I don't even remember. It was a whirlwind. I just remember one afternoon we went to Walmart and we purchased a bunch of supplies while we also slapped kindness sticky notes all over the store. So we prayed about where to go. I went to the diaper aisle because I was like, those poor mamas, I know how they feel. You got this, mom. The tampon aisle. I was like, you're beautiful. You're great. You're rocking your life. And what else did we do? I know we did
the reverse drive-through.
Okay. Yes. Do you want to tell me about that? Tell everybody what we did on that.
That was really, really fun. We made these little goodie bags with candy and we put encouraging notes in them. We went through the drive-thru, but we passed up the speaker box. And when we got to the window, we're like, hey, we just went to love on you. Here's some candy. Here's a goodie bag. And overall, I think we got pretty good reactions. We had a few, you know, like, thanks. But those were fun too.
You know, they went home and cried. They were so touched. No.
And you know, they ate that candy.
Of course they did. Most of them were shocked. Like, we went through a daiquiri drive-through, and that girl, I will never forget her face. She was like, dude, what? What? Wow. It was so cool. I've never done it. I've always had it on my list, like, do a reverse drive-through, and I hadn't had a chance to. So Rucci come into town. She's like, let's do it. And I know you can't back down when Rucci's there. So... what else, Savannah? You and I had a moment in CVS. What were we giving out?
I think we were giving out roses, flowers, like individual flowers to just ladies that we saw. And it was so cool Because, okay, I know in my mind, sometimes while I'm serving or doing stuff like that, I'm like, I mean, this is cool, but this isn't really making a difference. So, like, I was a little nervous to go into CVS and just give flowers out because, like, something in my mind is like, this is stupid, Savannah. Like, why are you doing this? But the first lady that we see and we give her a flower, like, immediately starts crying and says that, like, God sent y'all here today. Like, you don't even understand. Like, really, God sent you. And it just kind of was like, wow, Savannah, like, never underestimate, like, this kindness thing. This guy, like, so then we just kept giving them out. And, like, people were telling us their stories about their day and just, like, how, like, amazing this was. And I'm like, wow, like, I didn't think it would really matter that much.
Yeah. That was bizarre. And I love that you said, like, just don't ever underestimate this kindness thing. Because I do. I've been doing outreach since I was a kid. I've been working in outreach since I was 14. And yet there's still days where I'm like, oh, it's not really a big thing, whatever. It's increasingly something that I never try to underestimate, but you still do, especially in your daily life. Sometimes you might find yourself, I don't know if you guys do, but waiting for the opportunity to present itself to you. Like, oh, the church is doing an outreach, I can go, which is great. Let's do that. Let's participate. But sometimes it's like, it's a Tuesday and I just want to make the world a better place. Let me go do something random. So let's pile in the car and go slap sticky notes on Walmart cereal boxes. And it's so great. It's so fun. And literally, I think the key to it with us was, it takes a lot to do those things. Like, you put yourself out there. It doesn't take a lot all the time, but sometimes it's just like that awkward moment. Like, why did you skip the window at the drive-through? What are you doing here? You have to push through that. But I think we even took it another level, which is hard. I almost missed those moments to say, can we pray with you? Like, there was the lady in CVS that we were like, can we pray with you? Let's have that moment. And that's where the tears came. It's like, you've got to push through to bring it spiritual. And you don't want to freak people out, but I think people will crave that sometimes. So just to offer it, that to me is where heaven meets earth, is when you bring it to that level. So sorry, I kind of went off there, but I just get excited about it. It was such a cool moment. We had a blast. And I know we also made kindness boxes that day. Well, kind of. We had like little caboodles and filled it with like little blank sticky notes and things that y'all can put in your car just for when you're out and about and you see somebody you want to bless. So that was cool. And I was going to ask you, Ruchi, you are working on something that a really cool idea that we're all going to put together soon. You want to introduce it?
Yeah, of course. This idea came from, I remember there was a time in Birmingham where I made sure that I always had waters or Gatorades in my car so that if I ran into somebody, a friend experiencing homelessness or a construction worker, I would have something to give them. Well, it came to my mind recently, let's take it a step further. And so I've come up with this idea called the Buddy Box. And in the Buddy Box, there's Buddy Bags. And all sorts of things. I also have an idea for party supplies in the buddy box as well. Wait, did you not read my thingy?
I haven't looked at it yet.
Oh, because you looked so surprised when I said that.
Love this.
Okay, so let me try to break it down. My idea for the buddy bags, they're like compassion bags when we would make at the Dream Center. But I like the name Buddy Bags better. Buddy Bags and Buddy Boxes. Anyways, sorry. And so in the Buddy Bags, it would be like snacks, granola bars, preferably things with protein in it. And these are going to be passed out to people experiencing homelessness whenever you see them on the corner. Maybe like little toiletries. So they would go in the Buddy Box. And also in the Buddy Box, I mentioned party supplies, and just, I feel like everyone should just always have a party. There should always be a party ready. Like, let's say, Tori, it's your birthday, but you're working. I'll just show up at work with party hats on, confetti, whatever. We need to have a little mini party. And that idea came from during the COVID shutdown. One of my friends, it was her birthday and nobody could do anything. So I went to her apartment and I didn't tell her I was coming, but I wrote happy birthday on the cement in chalk. And I had a little cake for her with a candle in it. I had party hats and we had a party 6 feet away from each other while she stood inside of her apartment and I stood outside. But the idea for the Buddy Box isn't just geared towards someone experiencing homelessness, but it's geared towards everybody. I want it to be like a reflex for people. My Buddy Box stays in my car at all times. And like, it doesn't always come that easy to me. Sometimes I forget about it, but I want it to be like, oh, a friend experiencing homelessness, I got to turn around, reach, grab a bag. I don't even want to think about it. I just want it to be like, this is what I do. This is a reflex. And I want to be prepared at all times if I can, but I'm still working on getting it together. So
a teaser, it's a preview of something coming really soon, all the how to's, but it's brilliant. And like, I found at Target this box that has like little kids on it and it says you matter. And I'm so excited to put it together. So once I get your list, I have all my supply lists and things that I need, but I love that you can personalize it too. So for me, I love to write notes. Someone else may not. So it's kind of like, think about your thing. I know Pastor Dino has mentioned on a podcast before that like around Christmas time, he keeps like dollar bills in his car. It's hilarious to me, but he's like, I just want to be prepared when I meet someone, I have something I can give them, or like Publix gift cards. So whatever it is that is in your heart or like something that you resonate with, to fill your box with that. To me, I even keep sticky notes in my purse so that I'm at the gym or I'm at Walmart. I haven't been to the gym in 2 years, but I used to. If I are on an airplane, like you just stick kindness notes somewhere. And it's not, yes, it's for that person, but I have found that having that preparation, just that small thing, it makes me instantly more aware of people and moments because I'm looking for opportunities to love. And maybe it's cheesy to slap a sticky note on a cereal box, but it genuinely makes me like, this is not just a grocery trip. This is a chance to love someone. So I just love what the Buddy Box does. I don't even have stuff in it yet for myself, but I'm already like, oh, wow, how can I love that person? So it helps you see differently. And that's what I love about it. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I want to ask though, I want to get into even more ideas because I know you guys are just spilling over with them, but my heart in this conversation is you two, like I said before, have this beautiful perspective on humanity. You genuinely have kaleidoscope eyes, and not everybody has that yet, but they want to. And I just wonder, like, how are you, this maybe is an ambiguous question, but just what is it about humanity? How are you able to see humanity in Jesus's eyes? What happened that made it feel that way? Or what's your thoughts on it?
Savannah. I just talked a lot. It's your turn.
I guess it does kind of start with a prayer of like, God, like, I want to see how you see. And I want to see your perspective and see people and see things. I want to see how you see. So I remember I prayed that a lot, especially when I was younger. And like, I think it's just such a good prayer. And then from there, I don't know. I just have like certain, I guess, like a sensitive heart to certain people or like certain situations. But also realizing that like all that matters in life is love. And I wouldn't say I've always been good at that, but so something happened to me when I was like 19, I think. So I lost my mother. She passed away, and I just remember like some of her final moments, like was her just saying like, thank you for loving me. And like, she was talking to our family. And in my mind, I'm like, that's what she had to say, like her last like her last words, like, thank you for loving me. Like, it's so simple. Like, that's all that life is. Like, when you're dying at the end, you think about like all the love. And I don't know, ever since that moment, I'm like, that's all I want to do. Like, I just want to be love. Like, because all I'm going to remember is the love the love at the end, because that's what I saw happen. So since then, I've just tried to like think about love and think that it really is. I know Bob Goff helps all of us because we all love him, but reading his books help to see that love is doing, like, being love, I guess, like doing love. I don't know. I don't know how he puts it.
Becoming love, I think. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, more of like love is what you do. Like,
yeah.
It's an action, I guess. And then hearing from somebody who is dying, like, it's true. Like, it's really all that matters. So that's, I guess, how I can view people, because I know the importance of love. Like, nothing else matters to me personally. So I don't care about all the things. Like, I just care about getting to know that person and knowing that they at least know that I love them and they can remember the ways that I love them.
Wow, Sienna. That makes so much sense to me, of just watching how you interact with people in the world, because I've been reading this devotion by Bill and Benny Johnson called Mornings and Evenings in His Presence or something. And today the devotion was about heaven being open over us. And I always think, it's like, and we don't always remember to access the fact that heaven is wide open in front of us. And I think, or above us, when somebody loses someone close to them, like I lost a best friend. And I remember when that happened, I have never felt more close to like the presence of heaven. Like, yeah, it hurt so bad, but it was like, I could see differently. Like, eternity was so much more vivid. And like, that's why you see people through the lens that you do, because you understand how real eternity is. You literally are so connected to someone who is in heaven right now. And I think that, like, we don't realize that, but it changes how you interact on earth. And you're one of the people who ushers that to earth. And it's not to say that no one else has that access. It's just, we haven't seen it in the same way. Other people maybe haven't seen it, but we have it. And it's like, how do you keep this awareness that heaven is wide open and all I have to do is engage? I have to play in the field, and I've got to, that's what I love. I wrote down today, kindness to me is a spiritual weapon. Like, it is not, it's not a passive thing. It's not like, oh, I'm joyful today, which is good. That's also a weapon probably too. But kindness is like freaking sword. Like, you wanna push through some junk. Kindness is power. And I know I'm jumping a little bit, but y'all just inspire me so much. So I'm gonna ask you, Ruchi, like, how do you, I know you've gone through challenges as well, and I feel like every time I connect with you on something, your response is kindness. You're like, I'm going through crap, but this is what I'm gonna do about it. And it's always love expressed through kindness. So what do you think on that? Like, how do you keep that fresh and not give up on it, if that makes sense?
Well, I'm sorry. Can you ask that one more time?
Yeah.
I literally just lost my train of thought.
No, it's good. I kind of rambled. I always do. Kindness as a weapon. How do you use kindness as a weapon to fight through your own junk?
Kindness is a weapon. Okay, I got you. Yeah, so something I realized the other day, because I mean, of course, this is like all I think about, because it's like kindness and loving others well is what keeps me going. But one thing I realized is that I feel most loved when I'm loving others well. And it's like almost like, it's like God's love. I feel God loving me like extra hard whenever I'm passing that on to somebody else. And whenever I have something extremely difficult that I'm going through going on, usually my first response is, what can I do for somebody else? Because I know that's the only thing that'll get me through. And I know people always say hurting people hurt people and healing people heal people. But I thought about it, and like, even if you're hurting, you could still heal somebody. And to me, loving others well is how I heal. I went through a really difficult situation a few months ago, and I was supposed to make a gumbo because I sell my gumbo. And I remember thinking, I don't know how I'm supposed to make this gumbo with all of this going on in my head and all of these emotions. So I'm thinking, how am I going to do this? And so my thought was, the only way that I could get through this is donating half of the money to some sort of organization. And that's how I got through it. And I ended up being able to buy a bunch of supplies for people that are going into treatment. And I mean, it brought me to life. It brought me to life so much. And I mean, kindness is, it really is a weapon, like, and not just like for somebody else, but like on the other end too. And I know a lot of people, I've heard people say that service work and acts of kindness is like selfish because like it makes you feel good. But I was thinking about it recently, and I feel like, so whenever you have that good feeling, like your dopamine and serotonin in your brain is going on. So it's like, that's what makes you feel good. But if your body is biologically responding to you doing like loving someone well, like, I feel like that is the biggest answer, or like the biggest truth to like that we're all called to do these things. You know what I mean? Like, biologically, we are called to love others well.
Wow. I've never heard it that way. That was deep. Dude. Yeah.
I don't know how I got to that. I don't even know what I'm saying.
Oh, brilliant, Ruchi. Yes, that is the truth, because it's like God's intention is for us to live fulfilled, and the opposite of not caring about others is like deterioration and depression and all the horrible things, like the paralysis we get caught up in. So for him to bless us to feel the feeling of fulfillment, that's how he designed us, and the world is a better place because of it. So forget altruism, whatever. Anyway, that was deep, nothing. I love that so much. And I can say I've watched you fight through some of your hardest battles through kindness, and you've come out so strong and victorious. And it pushes me, because I have that issue too. Just getting stuck. Like, I feel like nothing is working. Everything's meaningless. Everything's against me. Whatever the thoughts are. But I'm like, Ruchi would stand up today, and she would go do something worthy of something. She would go love someone. Even today, I can't say I did anything extravagant, but it was like working on something for someone else. And I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to push. I just wanted to push it off and sit down. And I was like, no, Ruchi would do this. Go drive across town. You go do that task right now.
Aww.
And it made me feel so much better. So it's just like, I don't know. It's just one of the most healing things. And I think heaven, like you said, you feel God loving you extra hard. That, I resonate with that too, because you just can feel like that warm, I'm with you, God. Like, I partnered with you. This is your heart, and I'm just invited to the party. That's what it is. It's not like we're making something happen. It's just like, I'm invited to God's party. What are you doing? Holy cow, I'm celebrating people. And that is the funnest way to live your life ever. Mm-hmm. A big party every day. So I want to ask you guys, we always, the three of us, talk about people are treasures. That's like a Kaleidoscope Eyes concept that will never go away. Everybody is a jewel in God's crown. How do you guys go about seeing that? Like, I think it's easy to overlook some of the people who are more distant or jerks or going through things that look different than us or whatever. Some of the things that help me to not get lost in a wrong perspective on others is like, imagine that person and what they would look like when they get to heaven, perfect and exactly as God created them to be. Mm-hmm. Or look at that person, look at them as a child. Like, that person was once 3 years old, perfect and innocent. Like, imagine, start there. and then adjust your focus on loving that person. So that's kind of what helps me. But you guys, I know each have your own thing. Like Savannah, you've gone through your story. You just talked about how that affects how you look at people. Speak to that a little bit. Just talk about people being treasures. How do you treasure people? Either of you can answer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So it's really funny. Sorry, Savannah. It's funny that you mentioned this because today I was at the doctor's office and I pulled out my wallet, and I have had this wallet for like almost going on 8 years, and I love this wallet, but everyone I know is like, Ruchi, you need a new wallet. This wallet is dirty. It has cigarette burns in it. It's kind of gross if you really saw it, but it has a station wagon on the front, and the station wagon has a little surfboard on top, but all of the other the color, original color, is completely gone. And I'm telling you, that station wagon is hanging on for dear life. But anyways, when I pulled it out of my bag today, I looked at it and I really thought, I'm like, this is a perfect example of how we see people as treasures, because everyone in my life is like, Ruch, get a new wallet. You have to, like, this is disgusting. Like, but to me, like, I treasure that wallet. I love this wallet so much. I treasure it. Like, it means so much to me. And I just feel like it's literally the perfect example of how we see people. I just had to share that story.
Story, and it's so true. It's so true.
Wow. I don't even remember the original question.
Please bring that wallet to remember how to love people well, no matter what. They've got histories and they've got stories.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That is a great visual. Like, I love that. I'm always drawn to like children. And so I don't know. I guess. And then, I don't know, I'm just drawn to them because their heart is so special. And just like, I just love hearing the heart of a child, and I love seeing the world through their eyes. It's just so beautiful. So for me, I know they can be overlooked a lot, and a lot of people do overlook them. And so for me, I'm just drawn to focusing in on them and who they are, and like pulling out all that's inside of them. It's just so exciting for me, and I just treasure like all my conversations that I get to have with younger people, because they teach me so much. And I don't know, my heart is just like when I'm there with them, like I know that's where I'm supposed to be. When I'm hearing about their heart and what matters to them, like that's just where I'm supposed to be. So, and then also I think like I treasure people by like really getting to know them by asking questions. And I think asking questions is like one of the best ways to treasure someone, because I know I love it when people remember and like ask me, and I will never forget. Tori texted me one day, and it was right after I moved to Baton Rouge. And we just started reconnecting, and she knew that like I went through a hard thing losing my mom. So she texted me and said, hey, let's go on a walk. Like, I want to hear about your story. And the whole walk, she just asked me questions about my mom. And I think questions are healing. Like, no one asks, like, who does that? I've never heard of anyone doing that. So now I want to adopt that, because so many people just are waiting for you to ask, and they can maybe be healed by your questions.
Oh my gosh. I love that so much, Savannah. Like, for real, for real. Your heart for kids, your just heart in general is just, it's amazing. It's very special. You're very special.
Thank you. You too.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
As I've told Savannah, you are enchanting, like literally enchanting. She goes into a room and it's like she's not even aware of herself. It's just like there's sparkles. It's like the smile, she's caught up in a moment with the child, or she's having that conversation in the back corner of the room unnoticed by anybody else, and she's just enjoying getting to know someone. And that genuine, pure curiosity is so holy to me. And I learned so much from it, from you in that. And I get focused on myself too much. Like, oh, I'm going to sound awkward. I'm not going to, even when I forgot about that story, but even when I texted you that, I remember just being so nervous. Like, she doesn't want to talk about that. It's going to like open wounds. There's no way. Like, I just, but I have to. And it was nerve. It was so nervous, but it's so cool to hear like people just want to be heard and they just want to be seen and they just want to feel loved, like the reaction of that. And Savannah, like I shared this with you before, but I catch you all the time in moments like that, just lost. Like, I didn't even know you're driving a precious widow an hour across town every weekend to do her chores or whatever she's got to do. Like, on your own, you're just there to love people. And it's not even anything crazy. It's just, I just want to show people love. And that is so inspiring to me. I just can't. Yeah.
Okay, hang on. This made me think of a couple Bob Goff quotes, of course. If I say anything on here, anyone listening, just like, it probably isn't even from me. It's probably straight from Bob Goff. So like, don't quote me, just quote Bob Goff. But two of the things that he said, they kind of like go hand in hand, is God creates people. People create issues. But people aren't issues. And people aren't projects. People are people. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like that in itself is a picture of just the treasure that everyone is. And then, oh, hang on. What was that other one? Oh, it's not really a quote, but he talks about this like so much in his podcast about not seeing people where they're at, but seeing who they're becoming. And that, I think, is the main... That is the main thing that like drives me when I look at people and stick around with whatever is going on. Savannah said you're called to kids. I feel like I'm called to the difficult people, the people that the outcast, the quiet ones, but like Tori, you said earlier, the jerks, the people that no one wants to deal with. I guess if someone, I've gotten to the point where I realize if someone's acting a certain way, there's a reason why. Like, they're not just a jerk. They're a jerk for a reason. There's some sort of pain, something going on that they've not addressed, or I don't know. It could be literally anything. But it ties back into kindness, about how one small act of kindness could literally just change it all. And I think it's just important to have those Bob Goff eyes, the kaleidoscope eyes, to see who people are becoming, and not just be like, oh, that person, they did it again, you know, but hey, I see, like, you don't have to keep doing this, you know, or whatever it is.
So good, Ruchi. I think about like, Savannah and I are in a Bible study about, I don't remember the name of the book. It's Craig Groeschel's book,
The Mind. Winning the War in Your Mind.
Winning the War in Your Mind. Thank you. But it talks about like perception and reality and how perception builds reality. And so, because we live into that. So I really think that those of us who have Jesus's love, when we love others in kindness, it's like a prophetic move over somebody. It's like, I see the beautiful version of you. I see the heavenly perspective of you. And I'm going to speak that over you. I'm going to reflect that back to you as a mirror. And when they see themselves like, whoa, that's my identity. I didn't know. And they live into it. They start to, I've seen it happen. Birmingham Dream Center is a perfect example. One of the guys, horrible mental illnesses, shut off, wouldn't even come in the door, sat in the corner for months and months. And the team started just hugging him, speaking life over him, just gentle moves. And you guys probably remember, like, he started watercoloring with us and he started leading the prayers and he started tithing. And it was not a perfect, like, holy miracle 180, he's healed mentally, but it was baby steps because there was like a prophetic move of kindness in his life. And I think we don't look at it that way, but holy cow, what an opportunity if we would just not underestimate kindness. We could really, truly, deeply change people's lives, even for ourselves. I added this question. What about showing kindness to yourself? I struggle with this one. Do y'all have any thoughts on that? Or do you practice that? And we can be real if we're working on that.
I'm definitely working on it for sure. I've gotten a lot better with it. But the past few months, I've been in a really difficult season in life. And like, I've almost been forced to be kind to myself. And there was a moment I really felt like I was just really upset, a lot of emotions going on. And I really felt like Jesus was like telling me to look at myself through kaleidoscope eyes. He was like, why don't you look at everyone else through kaleidoscope eyes? Why can't you look at yourself through these kaleidoscope eyes? And I'm like, he did it again. Dang it. All right, God. Why are you right?
So hard.
Yeah, it really is.
It's cool that you have permission to do that, though. Like, sometimes you just, for me, I forget, like, oh yeah, turn that back. Like, and Savannah and I talk about this sometimes. If we have a practice, I haven't done it in a while, I need to. My friend Alicia made me start doing this. It was like, look in the mirror and speak life over yourself, which I think most people have heard of that practice before. It's kind of a women's ministry type thing to do. It's real cute. I love your love handles. I love your scars. No. It can be cool. But the first time I did it, I prayed. And like, I have never seen myself with heavenly eyes until that moment. Like I have, but that moment changed so much awareness of just how he sees me. It got deep really fast. I had chills. I was like, I don't know where these words are coming from, but it changes. And our pastor, Chad Dinkle, always says, live loved. Like, you love from the position of living loved. He loved us first. And that's why we react the way that we do. So, Savannah, what about you? What's your take on kaleidoscope for yourself?
Yeah, I feel like that is hard. Like, I'm really not always the kindest to myself. And I was even corrected by my boss because I said something like I'm really not good at that. I can't do that. And he like was very quick to be like, we never say anything negative about ourselves. He's like, I never say anything negative about yourself. I teach my kids that. And it just like kind of woke me up of like, I wouldn't be like going around saying that to people, negative things like you can't do this, you can't. So ever since he told me that a few months ago, I've tried to like stop the thoughts, like whenever I'm about to be like, I'm not good at this, I can't do this, I really try to like stop the thought before I can. And so I think being kind, I'm learning it's all starts with your thoughts. So for me, I'm trying to be kinder in my thoughts about myself before it becomes like an emotion. And it's very difficult, but I'm just learning I have to do that because
battle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a battle, but it's so good to be able to recognize it and to be like, okay, kindness is my weapon. I'm gonna use it for myself too. I think it's cool for the people listening. Like, we all deal with that. I think we're the devil. Probably knows that the people who care the most about kindness are the ones who aren't necessarily going to go run off and hurt someone else. So he's like, okay, let me turn you on yourself. Self-destruct. Tactic. So we can like level up. We know, all right, I'm not going to play that way. Let's renew our minds. And I think it's important because I have you guys. Like, we have to have our tribe and our people who are going to keep us like inspired and shove truth down our neck and say, go freaking look in the mirror right now and prophesy over yourself, whatever it is. But it's just important. And I'm so grateful just for you two, like how much you keep me in the right headspace, in the right perspective, the perspective of heaven. Seriously. So a couple more things. We're coming to our close. You guys have given such great thoughts. I can't even express. A couple more questions. If someone who's listening is like, I don't even know where to start. Like, I want to express kindness. I want to start practicing it more. But it's just intimidating. There's so many options, so many opportunities. Who do I focus on? How do I see? Where would you guys recommend they start? What's a first baby step that can be building a buddy box, or what would you guys say?
I feel like this is probably the most basic step, but it's just something that I honestly struggle with sometimes, is just holding the door open for somebody. I don't know why. Or just if you're passing by someone, how are you doing today? Sometimes I don't know why, but my brain is like, you don't have to do that. And then my brain's like, yes, you do, because this is what you do. And I don't know. It's literally, I think that's the smallest first step you could take if you're really having a hard time. But
it's so practical and so easy to overlook.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I know a lot of times I get overwhelmed, like, what can I do? What people and all that. I find, like, if you're praying, like, I've prayed a lot of times, like, God, send me one person. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to focus on that one person you send me. It's not always about, like, making a difference in thousands of lives. It's so much more impactful when you make a difference in, like, one person's life deeply. So you could just start by praying, like, for that one person and whoever is put on your heart, or who you see, or you'll probably find it.
Does he usually answer that prayer?
Yeah, I've noticed that a lot in life. Like,
yeah,
I've asked him to send me one person, and, like, I was sent that person, and I would trade one person over, like, 100. So
same. Yeah, that's such great advice. I can say I forget to pray that a lot, but every time I do, I don't think he's ever not sent me someone. So I'm like, I'm looking for it. It makes such a difference, and it's so easy, and it can look different. Like, every encounter is going to look different. But you're, like, preparing and posturing your heart when you pray that. And that's cool to me. You guys have great, great thoughts. I did not expect such practical but deep ones. It was great. I love it. I mean, I did expect, but I didn't. Okay. Really quick, two more questions. If you were to call Bob Goff on the phone, what would you say to him or ask him? Ruchi. Savannah's making a shark face, so...
I'm scared.
That's a hard question, because I've been thinking about this for a very long time.
We haven't called him yet. So for our listeners, if you don't know, I can't believe you don't know if you don't know, but his cell phone number is at the back of his book, because he wants to just be accessible and there to love people. So he put his cell phone in his book. And so you can call him anytime. It's great. But we haven't yet, because we don't know what to say. We're not sure yet.
Right? Honestly, I think I would ask him how I could become one of his close friends.
I love that.
He can't say no to that, right?
That's put him on the spot. He's a yes man, too.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. And his books are so much adventures. Like, the stories are incredible. So I don't know. Ask him, like, how do I have adventures like this? Like, give me, like, some tips to start having adventures. Like, I don't know what he would say.
Right. So the question I just asked you guys, you would ask to him.
Basically.
So it starts by holding doors for people and smiling and finding your one. Yeah, he has some wild stuff. And I just can only hope. I think that's my biggest inspiration, is just to have a life so full of kindness. And you guys are my group. Like, we are doing that together. I really think we are. So yeah, I love you guys. One more thing is just recommend a book or a podcast or something. I think Bob Goff is pretty much covered. So, and the book is covered. Any other things that you guys want to recommend for people?
Hang on. Let me look at this book. So, of course, Everybody Always, but Bob Goff is covered. But No Greater Love by Mother Teresa, for sure.
Okay. I've read In the Heart of the World, but I don't know if I've read No Greater Love.
No Greater Love. It's really good. It covers all sorts of things. But, oh, my gosh, her heart is so pure and beautiful and simple. Like, we overcomplicate so many things, but it's really not that big of a deal. It's just, like, love people. That's literally it.
simple. Hard, but simple.
I can't think of anything right now.
It's all good. I mean, Bob Goff. Ooh. Oh, Ruchi's got one for you.
Sorry, my bookshelf is literally right in front of me right now. Servolution by Pastor Dino. I know this is going on Servolution podcast, but like, you know, we forget. So I'm reminding you.
I love it. Okay, well, we got two. I said that, but on the Serve Your City ideas booklet that comes in the Serve Your City package, there's like 15 practical outreach ideas. Those of you who don't know, Ruchi actually has a few ideas tucked away in there. She was published. Can I take your picture? Pops in the park. I don't remember what the other ones were, but she
had those in
there. So, a little anonymous fact for you. All right, guys. Well, I think that wraps it up. I think we could probably have three more episodes because this is just so, there's so much to talk about, and y'all both have beautiful hearts and perspectives. But until then, thank you for being my guest today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I hope that everybody has a great rest of your day. Talk next time. Bye.
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 Thanks so much for listening to today's episode of Kaleidoscope Eyes. You are a treasure. You are amazing. I hope that you go out into the world today and you get to see a little differently and you begin to love more extravagantly. So go out and enjoy, and we will catch you next time on Kaleidoscope Eyes.